elbows, 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 elbows. Let me see your shoulders work. Woo! I mean, I don't know what
you're able to do, but... Episode 3. Welcome to Raps Rants, the podcast discussing everything Raptors, everything NBA, hosted by myself, Phil Marion, and Blair Johnson. Welcome, everybody. We have a special guest today, Mr. Patrick Harris.
Thank you for having me back. Coming back for the first time since the championship preview, where we all successfully predicted a Raps championship win.
I think except Blair, though. Blair the loser.
Yeah, Pat's been successfully predicting every Toronto win for the last I've only been alive for 35 years, so I think Pat's been predicting all of the 35 years. This is actually our first ever remote podcast, Phil.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I think I'm confident that bear with me, the mics aren't as using the microphones from the laptops aren't as good, but I think it should be good. Anyways. Well,
and we get Pat this time, and I think that's probably going to become more of a regular thing, hopefully, as well. And I think as we're going to try and plug the mics in next time, our good mics into the computers, and maybe get, you know, send one to Pat via Amazon Prime and see how that works as well.
It's a good call.
Absolutely. All right. So, Blair, last time we spoke, or last episode we hosted, they'd just beaten the Lakers. We were quite happy. And we were a bit concerned with the schedule going forward. I think at one point I said it's very, you know, it's the hardest schedule out there. They could go 1-7. Shockingly enough, they've gone 7-1, even though four games typically were summer league type games. Winning's winning. So to go 7-1, I think that's important. And, you know, basically, you know, you have the Suns as an anomaly going 8-0, but yeah, we're showing that we're there. So, pretty excited. I'll bring up a few before we go into obviously the playoff setup and highlighting Brooklyn and Toronto and the other matchups. Couple things. So the one loss was to Boston, and it was in pretty shocking fashion. Is there some concern here based on that being a potential collision course in the second round?
Well, you know, I'll just start off, Phil. I want to pass off a few things over to Pat here, but you know, a couple things that, you know, I will say, because I'm always first to admit my faults. But you know, when we predicted the 1-7, I think one of the things that the Raptors continue to do is just act like champions. And Freddie said it today. He says it's gonna be really hard to beat us four times in a row. And yeah, we always underestimate. And again, let's be fair here. You know, the Raptors have won more teams than any other team in the NBA over the last five seasons. We know they're a good team. We've always known they're a good team. Last year, they proved that they were a great team, that makeup of that basketball club. This year, they're going to have to do the same thing. But what we do know is that we keep talking about that championship DNA, and they are not afraid of anybody. And I think that that's what is kind of rubbing off on me. And for the first time, you know, I think we'll talk a little bit about tonight about how we lack that superstar presence still. But what we don't lack is confidence. We do not lack championship DNA, and they act like champions in a way that they didn't do. They were pretenders in the good day, you know, in the days when they were still really good, but they would lose, you know, we get swept by Cleveland. This isn't that same basketball club, obviously. We're very different defensively and with our experience. So I think, you know, am I concerned? I would be concerned if their confidence level wasn't the way that it is. I don't think they could care less about that 40-point loss, and that means that I don't care about that 40-point loss.
There you go.
Yeah, Phil, I know I'm usually the eternal optimist on these things. I actually have a slightly different take from Blair. I am worried about Boston. That's the only team. Like, if you were to say to me, which team are you worried about in terms of winning it, repeating as champions, it's round two against Boston is the one that keeps me up at night. It's they, and we talked about this before the pod, like, they're the same team as us. They love running out in transition. They play very, very, very good defense. They're well coached. They've got great wings, and they know how to shoot. And so, you know, as we saw when they played them, you know, they match up well against us. And they're, the games that I've watched this year, I was at the Christmas Day game, which was a little bit of an anomaly just because we were had so many injuries. but they have a tendency to slow us down and get us in the half court. And as we all know, that's not exactly where the Raptors excel. And so I think for me, I'm very worried about that series against Boston.
It's the two things. If the Raptors aren't shooting well, you know, they don't have the guy now to step in and save them.
That's right.
Like, who's it going to be? So if shooting's not there and then you've got, you know, the next man up approach, that's the concern. So we're hoping that they can be like the 04 Pistons, which were next man up type mentality, anchored by one of the best defensive players of all time. But that's, we'll see. I mean, I do view it as a regular season loss. You know, just a bad game. I worry about the matchup, but I'm not worried about that game.
But the only thing
they did, they're shooting.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that the one thing that we do well against Boston is we have size on them. And so, you know, we obviously watch Gasol and Ibaka dominate Philly and Milwaukee and Golden State last year. And so our ability to do that over them could be a real difference maker, I think.
Well, and I'm not naive when I say that I'm always worried about any good basketball team. I mean, I would worry to play the Pacers. I'd worry to play Boston. I think Boston obviously matches up well against us for the exact reasons that you said. They're kind of they are a little smaller than us, a little more athletic, but very similar type of basketball team. I think one of the things that was unique about that game, but I feel confident about. Raptors not a pure shooting team at all. That never happened. Didn't shoot well in the playoffs last year either. Bullied, you know, as Phil always likes. I know I like to bully, but defensively we're phenomenal. Just the grit, all that kind of stuff. In this bubble format, I think, you know, people that aren't good at shooting the basketball struggle more on the road. In this neutral environment, I actually think it favors the Raptors. I really do. I think. You know, Ray Allen could shoot on the road. That's not necessarily our guy. It's not to say Van Vliet and some of those guys didn't really, you know, light it up on the road last year. But that's just, we're not a pure shooting basketball team. And I think that favors us in the bubble. I'm going to lean on that because I think we are a much better road team, I mean, our home team than road team. Some guys are good on the road. You know, you saw the swings last year in Philly. We'd win by 30 at home. They'd win by 30 at home. I mean, it was just kind of a, you know.
Philly was a weird series.
Yeah, but I mean that's the Raptors, right? I think that's at times we, you know, again, it's easy for a home team to get fake confidence when they start knocking down shots, and not that the Raptors wilt on the road. I just think that sometimes the home teams probably get hotter than they should, and again, I think that the neutral, you know, sort of territory in the bubble is I think it's helpful to us. I really do. I think it's going to favor defensive teams that don't shoot as well because I think they'll shoot better. And I'm pretty positive about that. And Boston, again, these crowds, like Boston's a racist home crowd, right? I mean, yeah. You're talking about neutralizing.
Playing in Boston.
Toronto is too, no question about it. So I think we lose some of that advantage there. But again, I think that we're a better home team. Some teams are good on the road, and I just don't think obviously our record's good.
Well, I mean, our record was before COVID.
We're good everywhere. We're good everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we were. But once again, it's regular season. I'd like to sort of dissect it. How good were we at the top elite teams in their stadium?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well there is that.
Again, I just think when you're just fundamentally, when you don't shoot as well, when you're not a pure shooting basketball team, that having an arena that's dead quiet probably is a benefit to you, because if you're already not that great at shooting statistically and you throw in loud crowd noise, it's probably not helping your cause too much, right? So again, I think that we benefit from that more than some other teams do, having this nice neutral territory.
But does the Raptors lack of sort of that go-to guy, the Kawhi Leonard, the DeMar DeRozan of years past? As we know, like, they're an incredibly well-balanced team, the most well-balanced team in the NBA, which doesn't always necessarily lend itself to success in the playoffs. So do you guys think that someone will emerge, or do you think that the keeping everyone guessing as to who's going to have the ball for the final shot is going to work to our advantage.
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed in that comment, Pat, because I think Kyle Lowry is the go-to guy. Kyle Lowry is, you know, when he's hot and he wants to assert himself in a basketball game, you know, he's clearly capable of putting up 30 plus points a night. And if he's got to do that, he's got to do it. And I think that the players have fallen around him. So I think Lowry's a good fire starter for that type of a player. Yeah, I mean, again, I think the Raptors are really unique, right? I mean, we've got some – Siakam is not going to be – but just like Giannis. Like, Giannis doesn't have a mid-range game. He's not that – he's got sort of one way he can play basketball. So am I concerned about it? Sure, slightly. But I do think that the Raptors have different types of matchups that they know how to exploit. And that they'll go to those matchups depending on who they're playing or who they're matching up against as far as the lineups and things like that. But I do think Lowry is more and more capable of being, you know, he's a layup, three-pointer, mid-range. He's got sort of everything you need. He's not going to put up 45, but he's
depends. It depends on the match.
Hold on a sec. I think we need to stop and recognize the fact that Blair is on a podcast publicly stating that he wants the ball in Lowry's hands for the game-winning shot. I think that's progress. That's a lot of progress, my friend, and I think it's great.
Why would you question the greatest Raptor of all time?
That's right. Exactly.
I issued a public apology statement last year.
I know.
You can do no wrong. I think it's going to be
He scored 0 points in the playoffs in game one.
I remember.
The first basketball player who probably ever played.
That added fuel to our fire. That's for sure.
12 straight points.
He has forgiveness for 1,000 years. So he
for can, sure.
Now, but you know what? The funny part about that is that matters to him too. Like, the fear in these guys, because they've won a championship now, it actually is a difference maker because they don't need to fucking win anymore. Pardon my French. They don't need to win anymore. And it really does change the way you play the game. That's what that championship DNA is. It's like, we've been there. We don't need to win again. That confidence is, again, I'm a G-level basketball player. But confidence, I could be like LeBron James some games if I hit two shots in a row. But if I miss the two shots, I can't make anything. And it's confidence in sports is so critical. And these guys... That's what I'm saying. That's why I led off with that, because it's the most powerful thing that they have, and it's what Houston doesn't have. But if they did, Houston probably win like four titles.
Yeah,
it's a good point, Blair. And it's something like, especially, I wonder how the bubble will impact the sort of seriousness of the games that are being played with guys like Kemba and Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who have never really been in big games in the NBA, if they'll feel the pressure not playing in front of fans. I don't know.
That was my theory in the last episode, was that don't be surprised if you see some players step up as a result of not having that, you know, fan presence pressure and being playing a little more relaxed and loose.
I think that and that's the style of basketball we've seen so far. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
Well, guys, look at hockey in the bubble, because the bubble they went straight to playoffs essentially.
Come on, you're talking hockey.
No. What I'm saying is they went straight to playoffs, so it wasn't like, you know, some fake game. Montreal was like 12th place, is like gonna, and they're beating the number one seed. You've got guys like Dallas who's always been garbage, and so you do see the result of the bubble changing.
Not having the home. Like,
and it's not necessarily the home. It's like the grind of the season's too much for some people. And that's why the season matters so much, is because, and I'm glad basketball did it, but at the same point, you know, a lot of the times the hockey teams don't make the playoffs or the basketball teams, because you got to be a pro to make it through 82 games. There's a lot of talent in all these sports, and you can make it through three series. I mean, basketball obviously is the one that exposes the the differentiation and quality the most. But I think when you dial it back and you say, you're right, what's the difference between some players when the crowd is booing them and some players can handle it and some players can't? But if you take that out, they may be the same basketball player, right? And that's the crazy part about what we're seeing now is like, and I'm not trying to diminish it. You know, it's cool to see people succeed and play well and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's interesting to note that you really do for the, you know, some people for the first time appreciate how much it gets in your head having the fans there and messing you up on that stuff, right?
True. All right, let's go on to the next point here, which was we were discussing who's going to have the ball at the end of the game. Are we concerned with Siakam and his performance in the bubble? He has been woefully inefficient.
What are his stats?
The stats are, I'll pull them up, but in the bubble, his average point average is like 15.7, and he's shooting very poorly from three. His field goal percentage was under 40. Which is bad. And he had a ton of turnovers. I mean, one game, I think he had 9. The one thing is he just looks like he's rushing slightly. He's reading double teams well, but then when he's in the post trying to do something, there's a touch of urgency to his game, which needs to slow down a bit. But, you know, that being said, like, obviously you're making a big run in these playoffs. He's vital to the team. So thoughts on that?
I don't, I'm not particularly concerned about it just because we have a team that can, like, I'm not concerned about it in the sense of it hampering us from winning, just because I feel like we have a team where if one guy's having an off night, someone else will step up. I also think, like, we've seen Pascal have slumps before and he's always bounced back and done it well. Like, I remember game one of the NBA finals, I think he, you know, everyone was worried about him on that big stage and he went off for 30 plus and dominated. And so I'm not concerned about that aspect at all, but I do want to go back to one thing and we don't have to do it now, but you brought up turnovers and the Raptors, I think led them in turnovers and, yeah. You know, that's going to be something they need to lock down, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, Siakam, when I watch, the challenge is that they're trying to groom him into being something, right? That he's not, maybe isn't quite there yet. And maybe he isn't what they want him to be, right? I mean, certain players, they change the style of their game and things like that. So I think a lot of the times they force that a little bit. And I think they're trying to, right? I think that they want him to be the guy. And so sometimes you put him in the position and you and I think that he's failing, but they're going, well, this is what we're doing. Like, how do you become the guy unless we make him the guy? So, you know, it concerns me only in the sense that, you know, he's not doing as well as we want him to, but I think that they understand what the plan is for him, right? And it's okay for him to fail. And I think that they're okay with him failing. I'm hoping that when the playoffs come, that he's a smart enough basketball player to know when he's forcing it a little bit too much sometimes. And again, I think Pat said it right at the beginning of this. I think my biggest concern is the same concern we had last year. It didn't matter we had Kawhi, because Kawhi got late in the shot clock sometimes, and sometimes he'd hit and sometimes he wouldn't. And Phil and I went through the numbers, and Phil thought the numbers were really good. Sometimes they weren't very good. A lot of times in the playoffs, his percentages were not impressive at all. I mean, he's
talking about shots when they were needed most. He made them.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily true either, Phil. I mean, he did, but like Van Vliet made some of the big shots that were needed to be made, right?
Game
I mean,
five and game guys. Six.
Well, there's other
game
guys.
Five, Milwaukee, game six, Golden State. That was Van Vliet.
There's other guys that stepped up, but my point is that I think what I'm concerned about is that no one wants to take the shot, and the biggest guy who is Gasol just. He just lost the ability to shoot for some reason. It's really frustrating, right? No, it is really frustrating. And
his defense has been incredible.
Oh, it's best great.
Owner, yeah, he's the anchor.
And Gasol hit big shots last year. You know, the one where Gasol's going to have
a number of them
here. We're all going like, well, why does he have to hit a three? But he hits a three, right? And so I think that's the thing is we there's a lot of times where we do overpass, where the guys get scared of, you know, being the guy to take the shot. And, you know, it goes through the lineup. I think that's why a guy like Terrence Davis is important, because he's probably not going to get a lot of minutes. But I think he might be the type of guy, his trigger, like the fact that he's trigger happy, might rub off on other people, right? Like, how can this rookie be out there, be willing to take a three, and I won't even pull the trigger? And I think I'm hoping that because that's what worries me about not having that one go-to, is that, and Lowry will do it. Lowry, that's where I think Lowry is going to have to be the leader. But even last year, just pass, and you're like, come on, guys, like, you're wide open. And it's not even like they're guarded. Like, you're talking about wide open shots being passed up over and over. That's what frustrates me, is if we just have wide open looks that we refuse to pull the trigger on in the playoffs. And again, I think that the bubble will help that a bit, but that's my biggest worry, just being too passive. And it doesn't matter. Powell is like Norman Powell's passive sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, if you have those guys being passive, you're in big trouble. But again, we've got different guys this year. I don't think Hollis Jefferson is going to be passive.
No, I don't think they will. I think it's different. I mean, last year the focus was Kawhi. When you're rewatching those games, there were so many moments where you're watching a Pascal or a Powell or Van Vliet and the other guys. When they had the ball, you could see them looking around trying to find Kawhi. Be like, okay, where is he? Let's get him the ball. So, yeah, I don't think they're gonna be trigger shy. I'm worried about the shooting percentage. That's what I'm worried about.
And I know this is a little bit of heresy on this particular podcast, but I do think that, I don't think he's gonna be consistent, but I do think OG is gonna have some big games in the playoffs. I was reading an ESPN prediction that said the one hot take he had was OG is going to have 230 plus point games in the playoffs.
We made it through the whole podcast.
The other thing with Ibaka is having the best season of his career offensively. And I think that's going to be an X factor. But what's going to be very fascinating is what the rotation looks like, Phil. Like, I think you were saying earlier, you think it'll be, you know, eight guys. And how that, what that looks like, and how it fashions itself late in the game is going to be crucial too, because we have a different starting five. We can throw at different teams depending on the matchup.
I mean, that's the beautiful part about having great coaching as well, is that that's never a worry of mine anymore. We just know whatever he puts out there, I trust it.
Can we admit this, regardless of anything, is that Boucher is fearless? He is like a champion.
He's fearless for sure.
Like, he's a guy I'd rather go down swinging than go down passing. So Boucher, to me, I don't know why everyone laughs at him. The guy is he's the only player ever to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the G League. The guy is not a schmuck. He's not like a bench warmer. The guy has accolades in the second biggest league in the world. He's an elite level defensive player in the NBA, no matter what.
I disagree. Well,
I don't know. If you put him up against AD, I think there's going to be a struggle.
Well, who else is going to guard AD? Who's going to guard
him? I was at the Christmas Day game, and that was Boucher's highest point total ever. He was playing great. But when I was watching him on defense, like, he had a couple of like highlight blocks, but he was getting scored on at will. I can't remember the guy who was it was like he couldn't control him. And so I think, like, I agree with you, Blair, like, some of his athletic ability is incredible. I just don't know if he's ready for like those playoff minutes against some real legit centers.
Well, let's say one thing here too, Blair.
He's great though.
I'm happy to know that he's actually on the roster, where we discussed how we thought he wasn't even in the bubble. So glad we were wrong about that.
And again, remember, guys, there's different matchups too. So, you know, it doesn't mean that every single really great, because again, we're not talking about Boucher as being a shot blocker. He was Defensive Player of the Year in the G League. And I know it's the G League, but it's not like he was just there to be swatting balls and then getting back down on. So of course, like, If he's going to go up against Shaq, you're going to put Gasol in. But it doesn't mean he's obviously faster down the floor. You know, he's more, you know, there's different things that I think he brings to the table. Even the threat of hitting a three, if Gasol won't take the shot, and I'm not talking about him in big minutes, but I'm talking about him being somebody that brings energy during the game when they're down, or you need to flip the script, because
yes,
you
guys, if you're down,
are you making the case for him to be put in the Raptors playoff rotation?
Listen, I'm just telling you, when there's certain times in games where you don't have, when you're starting five or you're starting seven lack energy and you bring somebody in, I don't think he's a liability on the floor in certain situations. I don't believe it. I don't think he is. Is he going to be, you know, is he going to be the guy who turns the tide like for 20 minutes in a row? No, but I honestly, like when you look at certain, Norman Powell, for some reason, owns Milwaukee.
It's really weird.
In the Milwaukee series, we don't win it. And I just don't know why that happens. But we were first again, Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet first against Orlando.
The Philly series, he scored 14 total points.
We couldn't even play him. You couldn't even play the guy. Now, I know VanVleet's a bit of a different animal, but I'm just saying there's certain things that happen in series. And you can't explain them, whether it's like a matchup or, you know, they put Tobias Harris on the floor and then you put Boucher and Tobias Harris can't score all of a sudden. It's like Embiid can't score against Gasol. If we didn't have Gasol last year, we'd probably lose that series.
Oh, guaranteed.
So, yeah, Gasol, I don't
know. Gasol, it's the weirdest thing. He scores.
Claire, when you talk about Boucher, I think it would be on this podcast, I think you should refer to him as two-time NBA champion Chris Boucher.
Yes.
Because a little-known fact is that he got his ring with the Golden State Warriors the year before he joined the Raptors.
Yeah. All right, here. One big Raps achievement before we get into the Brooklyn Raps matchup. The Raptors became the first team since the 73-74 Buffalo Braves to have five players to average 15 points a game or higher. So that's Pascal, Lowry, VanVleet, Powell, and Serge. Those five. I'd like to highlight that OG is not on that list, who everyone thought was going to be 15 points plus per game, but in any event.
Is OG a good name for one of the players in the Raptors? Because I'd never heard that name before.
Anyways.
Just stop
big achievement.
It is a big achievement, but it's exactly what we needed to do, right? When we talked about Kawhi leaving, we needed
Kawhi Green leaving. You had a number of points that needed to be made up for.
Exactly. And between Serge and Norm and Pascal, like they filled those points, and it's exactly what they needed to do. But as we were just talking about, how is that going to what's that going to look like in the playoffs? And I'm really proud that they were able to do that. It's just it is a bit of concerning going into the postseason when the game's going to get a lot tighter and you're not going to be playing, you know, the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers and other Atlantic Division rivals three or four times a year.
But Phil, your comment at the beginning of the night, which is, you know, the Detroit Pistons, which is we weren't the Detroit Pistons last year because the Detroit Pistons didn't have Kawhi Leonard. We really this year.
No, I'm saying Detroit Pistons. You're talking about the 04 Pistons. I'm comparing them to this year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know, but even people compared us to last year. That's what I'm saying. So I think. Well, okay. Well, you're right. I mean, maybe they did, but that's fine. You can yell at me if you want.
No, I just mean I was actually agreeing. I don't think that's correct to use the 04 Pistons for last year's team. That's ridiculous.
So anyways, I think you're right, though. I think that you know, we have a better mix of offense than they did. But defensively, we're a spectacular basketball club. Like, we're a special basketball club. I enjoy watching the defense more than I enjoy watching the offense, and that's very unusual. But we're still a good offensive team. I mean, we're top couple in the league as far as offensive efficiencies and things like that. So I think we're strangely underrated offensively without the go-to, of course. But when you compare that with the Pistons back in the day versus. They were not a great offensive team.
No, Chauncey Billups stepped up. That's what happened. So that's what the Raptors, they do need to have one guy be predominantly the figure. But
Chauncey's almost the mirror image of Kyle. So exactly. I think so they've got a little bit, they had Rip Hamilton. Obviously, we've got Siakam. Anyways, long story short is I think it's an interesting thing we're going up against. But what you're seeing I read an article just before we started this with the Lakers. The Lakers are not a really good offensive team. The Lakers struggle in many. They were like 22nd in 3 points made this year. Like, they have a lot of offensive deficiencies. Obviously, again, they rely almost too heavily on LeBron and AD. And so I think they're having a tough time with the lack of balance, right? So it's you've got flawed super teams this year. Right, we all know the deficiencies of Giannis, right? And we don't know what's going to happen around him. We know what's going on in LA land there, and then of course we've got the Clippers, who are also sort of in a bit of an enigma. We don't really know what we're getting from the Clippers right now. So I think it's a bunch of flawed teams this year, right? So again, I think that's something that plays into our hands, and of course I'm always the one who's worried about the 76ers, and now the 76ers without Simmons I think they're just laughable. So you've got an interesting thing. I think you've got Boston really. I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana surprises people. But you've really got
the
Boston.
Let's get into the other matchups just after. So let's now move on. So we're facing Brooklyn. We won the season series matchup 3-1. However, I will highlight the last two games we played. The last one we lost, they snapped our winning streak. And the game prior to that was very close. I think we won by a point. And in both of those games, Caris LeVert was the guy. And he's kind of taken that second half of the season to step up. Am I worried about the Brooklyn Nets? No. My prediction is 5 games. What's everyone else's?
Yeah, I'm going to go 5. I'm going to say they'll have a night where Joe Harris and LeVert shoot the lights out, and they'll get lucky, and then we'll win in 5.
I mean, I'm just going to remember last year. There's sort of similarities last year where, like, Orlando came in and said, we're not afraid of the Raptors. We think we can beat them. Then Phil was
here. I'll read a quote from.
Let's just read this quote. Phil and Pat and I were all in a bar, and they were losing game one. And Phil said, "I'll never watch this piece of shit team again."
And then I actually left the bar. I stormed out as well. Like it was a rough night.
Yeah,
I'm right on board. I'm right on board with you guys. I think 5 games without the bubble. Everything's sort of level, but I think that they'll just be one night where we don't shoot well, they shoot well, and they beat us, and there'll be 5 games.
One other guy is who I can't even pronounce his name, Rodion's Courage. How do you say it? Not sure. He basically came out and said, "Hey, we play them hard. We're confident that we can win the series."
Yeah, no, unacceptable. Unacceptable.
And Caris LeVert also said the same thing.
You can't expect the other team to be going into a series being like, we're really gonna get our asses kicked.
And, yeah, exactly.
We're just out here to get a paycheck, and it's gonna be.
You know what? I think one of the things, again, I was reading the article before this where I think it was on ESPN or one of the big publications, just talking, no mention of the Raptors, right? We're NBA champions, just literally. They said we were the second tier, which is way far off of the top tier. Well, I mean, last time I checked, the Raptors, who had more wins than us in the NBA this year?
Milwaukee, that's it.
So, okay, good for you guys. But that, I don't like that type of, there's one thing being confident, and there's another thing being respectful. So saying, we know these guys are the champs, they're coming in, we're going to have to really play the best we've ever played in order to beat them. That's a respect. Right? Not saying we played them tough, we're not scared of them. Come on, guys. Have some respect. If Michael Jordan came in, you don't say we're not scared of Michael Jordan. Of course, you don't say you are scared. You just say, we know what it takes to beat Michael. We're going to have to play the best we've ever played. Like, have a little bit of respect and pay homage to the champs. That's not, you know, and that's why you guys are going to lose in five games.
Because I was going to say, like, it's Brooklyn. Like, if it was, you know what I mean? Like, it's comical. Like, they as Phil and I were saying earlier, they don't even have their starting lineup in Florida. Like, they're such a joke.
They are missing Dorian Prince, DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie Irving, and Spencer Dinwiddie, which Spencer Dinwiddie was the one guy not coming off the bench.
Right.
Or was coming off the bench, sorry. All right. So one thing I'll mention, though, is that Brooklyn isn't a joke of a team. They actually have been playing well. So Caris LeVert dropped 51 in Boston. And the 11 games after that, he is averaging 26.1 points a game, 6.4 assists, 5.6 rebounds, and 1.3 steals. This guy's the real deal. And Brooklyn went 7-4 in that period, which for a team that everyone was laughing at because of all the injuries is not too bad. I'm still sticking to my five games, but that's what we're up against. And this is where we'll get the full test of the theory. Brooklyn has nothing to lose. Everyone's expecting to lose this game. They're going to be loose, relaxed. Maybe you're going to see some guys in Brooklyn that would be, you know, kind of in shock playing at the ACC, or sorry, Scotiabank Arena. Be able to compete and play with a little more confidence because they're not in that scenario. So we'll see.
How did they beat? I'll confess, I watched none of the Brooklyn Nets bubble games, but they beat the Bucks with Giannis. Now, granted, he only played like 15 minutes, and they beat the Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi, and they played like serious minutes. Did you guys see any of those games? Like, are they just?
I watched them. I didn't watch most of them. I'd catch little clips of them, but I did watch one game. Well, I watched the guy. Here's also too what I'll say about Brooklyn. There's one thing I admire. The last game of the bubble, they're playing against Portland. Brooklyn had nothing to play for, and their starter. And look how many injuries they have. That would have been a perfect scenario to say, "Hey, let's rest." Caris, let's rest some of our guys and put them low minutes. But no, those guys were playing to the end, close game, competed. They compete well. Their defense is still shit from the standpoint that you're giving up. Like, a lot of the scores I saw, I'm like 130 giving up. But
when you're giving up 130 against the Raptors, it's not.
You got. Caris LeVert is just – he's kind of coming into his own, and he's really, really good. So if this takes a close game, if they are able to do this – yeah, exactly. So, but if they're close – this is the one thing about what Brooklyn has, is that you know at the end of the game or fourth quarter, the ball is going to be in Caris LeVert's hand at all times.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to rely on. So if they can manage to keep the games close for three quarters – that's when I'd be like,
it's great to have a guy like that on your basketball team. But when you have probably the third greatest basketball player of all time and Kyle Lowry on your team, you're not that worried about it, because that's the thing, is you're an NBA champion, greatest, one of the greats. But here, can I read you guys this? This is actually a Washington Post.
I love that.
That pisses me off. I mean, I get it. Pisses me off. So this is what it says. The opening paragraph of this article, it says, it's entitled, "The NBA Championship Picture Was Clear Entering the Bubble, But Now It's Complicated." Cool. It says, "The longest title chase in NBA history began in early July 2019 when Kawhi Leonard left the Toronto Raptors for the Los Angeles Clippers, launching a crosstown rivalry with LeBron James Lakers and clearing a path through the Eastern Conference for Giannis's Milwaukee Bucks." I'm sorry, guys. This was written 3 days ago. The path has not been cleared. If our 53
Eastern Conference is tough.
If our 53 wins, how many games was the NBA season now at the end of the bubble?
72 for the Raptors. Every team's different, but the Raptors 72.
We had 53 wins, guys.
That's great.
We had a chance at 60. 52
games. Are you kidding me?
In what world is that a clear path?
I think, Blair, I think it's very tough, and I'm happy to debate this with you, but I think it's very tough to make the case that the Raptors aren't getting the respect that they deserve as the former champs from a ton of pundits, like American pundits and Vegas and others. Like, I don't think people are sleeping on the Raps this year. I think we got a lot less respect last year when we had Kawhi.
Also about Vegas, I'm not a big bettor. That's to me, that's where put your money where your mouth is. What's
So to win the title, it's Milwaukee, LA, and LA are all sort of clumped in this sort of 2.5 to 1 odds. And then the Raptors are sort of standing alone on an island at 9 to 1. And then it drops off another cliff to Boston, Houston, Denver. Vegas puts the Raptors in a second tier, but they put them by themselves in a second tier. There's no one else with them. And that's changed. That's changed since the bubble. And then the other interesting one, which is to win the conference, is they're 3.5 to 1 to win the East. Milwaukee's -175, and so there's a bit of a discrepancy there. But I think that's consistent with the way the teams have played each other this year. So, like, I actually think the Raptors are getting quite a bit of respect in Vegas. And if you remember, even at the halfway point of the season, you had Philly, Milwaukee, Boston all ahead of them in the odds.
So, but am I wrong in saying that 2.5 to 1 versus 9 to 1 is a major discrepancy?
Like, yeah.
So what have the Clippers ever done, and what have the Lakers ever done to deserve? Like, the Lakers didn't make the playoffs last year, and with AD,
with all due respect, they've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and you've got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George Clippers team that was strong.
Yeah,
and the Raptors were strong too. We were never 2 to 1.
No, because we never had the superstar.
Why do you care so much?
This sort of leads to my rant here a bit. I'm getting sick of Toronto fans, actually.
Yeah,
Raptors fans, we're being whiny. Like, get over it. We're not going to get – the U.S. media is not going to report on the Raptors the way you want them to. They don't care. Get over it.
And who cares? Honestly,
time to move on.
You know what? I bet there's a lot of pissed off people in Milwaukee that are, say, walking around thinking, you know, how come we're not getting the love and respect that we deserve? It's because they're a small market.
Well, then you just say – Milwaukee's 2 to 1, so they are getting the respect.
No, well, in Vegas they are, but in terms of, like, you just read an article about about LA versus LA and all these other things. I bet in a lot of small markets like Denver and Houston and other places like that. Well, Houston's obviously not a small market, but the which LA team is going to win the title narrative has been going all year.
I think Milwaukee's getting to respect. I think everyone expects Milwaukee to win this year. I think that's the consensus, and they deserve that respect. They've been the best basketball team by a mile. Giannis was quoted today in saying that the bubble's been helpful to them because they were sick of beating, you know, they weren't learning anything by beating teams by 20 and 30 points every single night. So the fact that they've actually had to play some tight games is something that's probably pretty helpful to them. And so I think Milwaukee's getting lots of respect. I think that the Lakers, I mean, obviously the Lakers have LeBron and they have AD, but I think that they're getting a little bit of, you know, again, they're getting a little false respect for that. They haven't done anything before. AD hasn't done anything with other superstars. Nothing at all. LeBron hasn't done – LeBron – no, but Phil, you
can't –
Here's my thought on it is that I think everybody was right. To go, like, look at the Raptors' history. Great regular season team, playoff failures because they didn't have the guy. They get the guy last year, now he's gone. You're back to square one. Why do we expect media to think that things are going to be different? We have to prove it again. So just go out and play and prove it.
Can I just say that, like, if you – I follow a lot of NBA media, a lot of NBA podcasts like The Ringer and Bill Simmons, which are the two most listened to NBA podcasts. They talk about the Raptors glowingly, and they're big Boston Celtics fans. One of the guys on Bill Simmons predicted the Raptors to come out of the East. Charles Barkley predicted the Raptors to come out of the East. Kendrick Perkins predicted Toronto to come out of the East. Like, a lot of the U.S.
media. There's a good amount of people that predict.
Stephen A. had positive things to say about.
Which is big.
Yeah, like I don't know. This is the guys I watch. I'm feeling a lot of respect.
Okay, good. I just wanted Phil to say it because he's been a bit of a downer tonight. So.
Excellent.
Well, I think the last thing that I'm interested in talking about is I think we were all a little bit like when Phil and I started talking about this a couple of months ago, we're like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about the basketball coming back without fans in the bubble. And are we going to care as much? It's going to be exciting. And I think, again, what I will say is the hockey jumped right into the real stuff. And I've been, I hate the Leafs, even though I love them, but I hate them, obviously. But I've been really impressed by the fact that the players' intensity is so impressive.
Very good, yeah.
Really drawn me back into the games. And I think I've got the same feeling for basketball as well. I hope that there's no asterisk next to the champion because that would be.
I think they've done a good enough job for that to be gone. This is legit. This is everybody's playing in the same scenario. And, winner, there should definitely not be an asterisk.
And just to go back, Blair, just really quickly to go back to Vegas, one of the good things about the Raptors not getting respect is that Toronto fans who know get to get the great odds of 9-1 and 3.5-1 to win the East, and we get to get paid. So all you out there listening, Raptors free money bonanza, 9-1 to win the championship.
You know,
call your local bookie.
And Phil, just coming back to what you said, I think there's almost a obviously the regular season is part of the playoffs, right? I mean, earning your spot, getting your home court advantage, all those types of things are important. They show the longevity, but it is a little bit interesting to see an even playing field, right? Just to see mano a mano. What do you like if it's just there's no one standing around watching? Like we do that in the Olympics all the time, right? We do it in other sports. There's sports where there's more of a, like if Canada goes and plays in, a country where we know we're not going to necessarily play, like Germany or something like that, like it's an even playing field, like the Spengler Cup, like things like that. You know what I mean? And so it is a little bit interesting this year in the first time where it's like,
did you just drop a Spengler Cup reference?
I just mean there's very few times that we'll ever see in our lifetime where it's not because home court and home ice, those things are really, really important, right? But imagine you're a baseball team, right? And you've got 6,000 people coming to the games. And so your home record's probably not all that great because there's not a home, there's no home advantage. And then you go play in Yankee Stadium in the playoffs and there's like 60,000 people telling you you're a bum. And I think this is a really strange time, but it's almost like a neat time where you might see, again, maybe not in basketball because but even still, like you see Damian Lillard and you're seeing like the Suns went 8-0 and this might be the only time that there's some people that don't do well on the road or in those situations that you just see them in a pure, unfiltered arena that just shows their greatness. And maybe it's not so much in basketball, but maybe it is. Maybe we see that from a player you'll never see again. Maybe James Harden's ears this year, right? Maybe that is what. But I think this is, again, we want to take the positives from it. You might say, well, that's the game of basketball. You're on the road. Well, not this year. It's not the game of basketball.
That's right.
Right? And so I think
that's a really good point.
Right? So, like, maybe that's something we look for in the playoffs. Maybe we pay attention to that and see. I know you see it in hockey. You're seeing the Bo Horvats and like. So I hope we see some of those cool little storylines in basketball because I would like to see it. Hopefully it's not against the Raptors, but I would love to see Indiana come out and do something really cool and shock the world. And I'd love to see someone in the West. Like imagine the Lakers didn't make it out of the first round. Oh man, I'd be so happy. Who's coming out?
Let's segue into the other matchups and do a quick briefing.
Who are the Lakers playing the first round? Sorry, guys. I'm not.
Portland.
Oh, my God. I'd be so thrilled. How sick would that be?
I think.
Well, here, this is the thing. That's not going to be an easy series.
I don't think it'll be an easy series. But
Lakers are winning.
The Lakers are, let's remember, Portland's last three wins they were against ridiculous teams. Like, they had to have a buzzer beater against Brooklyn. Like, it's not like, and they were giving up 130 plus points to teams like Brooklyn. I mean, LA is going to run. Portland can't play any defense. They won't be able to handle LeBron and AD. I think they may get a game or two. I think Portland could steal a game or two and make it interesting. I would love it if they won game one and all the Blair Johnsons and Phil Marions who live in LA go absolutely crazy. I would love to see that.
Old man LeBron's confidence, how fast it goes. He's going to be the new Kyle Lowry when they start losing a couple of games. He's going to be like
old. Wouldn't that be old Kyle Lowry? Kyle Lowry, right.
Old Kyle Lowry.
I think the only series, Phil, I'd love to talk to Blair about the Miami-Indiana one, but I think the only series that's a big wild card for me right now is Houston and OKC, and that's just because Westbrook's out. I think if Westbrook comes back early in the series, I think Houston walks away with it, and I think they can do some damage in the rest of the playoffs. But I can't see any other series where the favorite doesn't win.
That's a good, yeah, I think so. Yeah, because throw an order yourself. Milwaukee, Orlando. I mean, that's not even worth discussing.
No.
And the next one is Raptors.
Phil, there's so
and Philly was Simmons out. I think Boston's winning that one in five games, which is a bit disappointing. I was hoping.
Yeah, that was going to be a good series. That was going to be
really. They were going to beat each other up. Hey, you never know. You never know, though. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll give this. When Joel Embiid is playing well, he is a force. So if he decides to show up in that series against Boston and everything's being run through him and you don't have to incorporate Simmons, Philly could be dangerous.
Yeah, but I agree.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Guys, the first round matchup, I mean, this is one of my – the Clippers-Mavericks, are you kidding me?
That's a good matchup.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to be glued to those games.
That's going to be entertaining, but I don't think the Mavs have a chance.
No, but you know what? They have a chance. They have a chance. They actually have a strange chance, right? I mean, they do.
Well, you've got a guy like Doncic who's a superstar, and the guy, if he decides to play well enough. And
poor thing is a weird matchup. Am I wrong? Is poor thing out?
I don't know, but I don't know if Porzingis is out. I don't think so.
No, Porzingis is out.
But you talk about Luka, Phil.
He just got on the all NBA bubble team.
Do the Clippers, Phil, do you think do the Clippers have anyone who can guard Luka, like any good defensive players on their team that could perhaps shut down a guy like Luka in the playoffs? Someone who has the intensity and experience of winning in the playoffs that might help with that?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe you like a guy who needs every game off, like his leg hurts all the time.
But yeah, that should be an entertaining series. Why do you think Indiana has a chance against Miami?
You know what? Indiana is one of those teams that they're full of a bunch of people that aren't afraid. All right. Like, and I think they're fearless. They've got just enough skill. And they're totally fearless, and they really are the one. They're the only people that if they came in and said, we're not afraid of the Raptors, that I would believe it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else is just a bunch of fake. Like, they just say that, pump each other up. Indiana's always been like that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of market that feels disrespected, that's Oladipo was talking about that the other day, that they get no support from anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I think you look at Miami, then they're the exact opposite. Like I respect Butler. I've never been a big Butler fan. I didn't think he was great against the Raptors. I mean, again, he's a good defensive player. He does this and that, but you know, his numbers.
You think he was good against us in the playoffs last year?
He's good, but he's just not. You never scared me. You never scared me, Butler.
We're continuing our tradition of disagreeing on perhaps everything. So my hot take would be that I actually think Miami can knock off the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
Well, defense-wise, it's the only reason. Like the thing with Miami that where there could be an upset with Indiana is that, once again, you've got a lot of players that haven't been tested at all. Now, they do have a fearless mentality, and they're playing in the bubble. As I mentioned, you're not in the big stage. But guys like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, even Adebayo, like, how are they going to react in the intense pressure?
And who's their go-to scorer? Butler?
Miami? It's going to be Butler.
Yeah, Butler's a bum. Butler's a bum. He's not a pure scorer.
But the only thing I was going to say about Milwaukee-Miami is that you've got the only way they win, and the only scenario I see it, and which is why I can take a hot take on it, is if Miami's the second-best three-point shooting team in the league and Milwaukee defends the three terribly.
Well, they don't. I mean, here's the one thing about Milwaukee that they haven't changed in the slightest, and that is the coaching and what they do. Like, you are going to get the 3-point shot against Milwaukee. They're betting that your percentage is not going to be. Now, it's a good regular season thing because over time in that stretch, you know, they're probably going to be right. You know,
well, they hit threes too. So,
and they hit them. So, Milwaukee lives and dies by the other team hitting their shots. Yeah. I mean, the Raptors hit their shots in four games last year.
Van Vliet did.
Van Vliet is still just astonishing, but
yeah, they're not going to.
Yeah, so back. I mean, that
not going to give my points. They're going to guard the point, but you know what? I just don't look at Miami as having a. You know, again, I think right or wrong, Jimmy Butler has always been a cancer, and I don't look at him as being the type of guy that is a positive force on your team. That's probably the wrong thing to say, but that's just how I look at it. And I look at a team like the Pacers, who never have any problems, who are strictly positive, who always move forward, who always overachieve, and I just look at them as the type of team, right or wrong. I mean, they might get swept, but I just look at that type of team where it doesn't surprise me when they come through, because they just keep their mouth shut and get the job done, right? And Jimmy Butler is the exact.
I'm rooting for Indiana, and I think
that's why they're Raptors. People say, "Oh, Kyle Lowry is the least likable guy in the NBA." I'm like,
hate him.
I know they don't know. You can't dislike anyone on the Raptors. They're the most likable people. We never overtalk. We keep our mouth shut. We get no respect, and that's it.
Kyle Lowry, I will say this.
He takes charges. That's why you don't like him, because he takes charges.
The guy, basically the comments are is Kyle Lowry is always on the floor, and I think he's a big actor. I've read through some of the comments.
He's getting run over by Joel.
Hey, Pat, I think your mic's off.
I was just saying he's been known to challenge the refs on a call every once in a while or on every
whistle. Yeah, people view him as a whiner. Hey, it's the same reason I hate, like, Draymond
Green. I don't care. It doesn't bother me, but.
Well, to put Draymond Green and Kyle Lowry in the same sentence is an abomination. the greatest basketball player in NBA history. Because, no, Draymond Green's, like, a properly annoying basketball player.
Single?
Kyle Lowry will maybe complain when he stands in for a charge for a 250-pound guy and doesn't get the call. Totally different ballgame.
Well, he led the league in charges this year again. Kyle's special. Not much more you can say.
Okay, guys, so tomorrow night, let's just go game one and let's go. I got to get out of here. Game one, what's the prediction?
Raps win.
Yeah, Raps win.
I think they're going to win by 6 points. My prediction is 104-98 Raptors.
I'm going to say they cover and they win by more than the 9.5 spread. And I'm going to go 112-102 Raptors.
I think the Raptors' intensity on defense is next level. They're going to come out like champions. And they're gonna be in improvement mode, no question about it. I think we're talking about, again, I think there's an inflated scoring because of the no crowd. So I'm going to get them close to 100, but I'm going to go 96-106. And I'm going to do a 10-point spread. Raptors dominate. And I think it's going to be a backdoor 96. I think we're going to be up by 20 most of the game. We're going to put in Boucher, who's going to – we will run more than if we put in Boucher. But anyways, I think it's
great. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that goes against your theory.
Well, it can only play with the guys on the floor, you know. If OG's, yeah, we're in trouble.
All right. Well, on that note, that's it for the show. Join us next time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we'll get you guys the mics.
Yeah, I mean, with this new setup here, Pat, welcome anytime.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you guys.